believe me so much. Hungry though. I think your son now sparing it, sent him to die. I can scarce take it in. That's just what beautiful grace. Lord, I want to say thank you for Cupcake Community Bible Church, God, for the kindness and the hospitality, and just the friendliness that the brothers and sisters have shown me, shown my wife, and shown my crazy kids. And God, it's been a beautiful week, a busy week, but a beautiful week, busy with beautiful fellowship, Lord. And we thank you. And I pray for Cupcake Community Bible Church, God, give them your spirit. Continue to lead them. Continue to lead them by your word. And give them wisdom, God. Protect them. And watch over them. Thank you for watching over them. And thank you for protecting them. Lord, as we open up your word today, help my stumbling lips as in my tossed to and fro kind of mind, and Lord, we ask that your spirit would speak and give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that are open. And Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Psalm 111 today. So we'll read the whole text together, and it's my hope just to go through this psalm today step by step. I'll read the 10 verses, and then we'll just go verse by verse, I'll share. So Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And I feel like I can just say amen and be done. It is such a beautiful psalm. So we're going to we'll jump to verse 1 here, and we'll read it again. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. So a lot of times when we read the Psalms, it'll give us a little title, who wrote it, right? A lot of the Psalms are written by David. We don't know on this one. It doesn't say, but to me, all the Psalms sound like David. But this, we don't know who wrote this one. The one before was written by David, but we're not sure. So, but it sounds like David, so I'm going to use the example of David a few times when we look at this. So we got praise the Lord. Your Bible might say something different. Who got something different in their Bible? Right?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that is the word. That is the word that is there. Yes, it says hallelujah. And so in hallelujah, starts with the word Hallel. Hallel, the praise word. So we got the word H-A-L-E-L. In Hebrew, that means praise, Hallel. If you go forward a few chapters, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 is called the Hallel Psalms. That's what they call in Hebrew. It means the praise psalms. And those psalms all reflect the future Messiah. And for us, it's Christ, but the Jews still think, you know, the Messiah is going to come someday. And he is. But those psalms are very much about the Messiah. So here we got, we have Hallel, and then Yah, that's the short for Yahweh. So we got Hallelujah is praise to Yahweh, praise to Yahweh. So we got kind of a double praise here. We got praise Yahweh, and so I like that. Praise the Lord, praise Yahweh. So, all right, and so this, so I used to teach English. I was an English teacher for my time in China. That's how I supported my family. And one of the things we talk about in English, we have four types of sentences. We have declarative, the sky is blue. We have interrogative, is the sky blue? Imperative, could put like a, we already said imperative. Did we do imperative already? No, we have imperative. How do we do imperative? Does somebody want to help me with imperative? The sky must be blue? No. How do we do imperative? So, imperative is a command, right? This, right? A command. So I can't really do it that way. I need to do something, right? So something I must do. And then we have exclamative, right? So like, wow, this guy's blue. So this is imperative. This is an imperative voice in the Hebrew. When we say, praise the Lord, we have the verbs here imperative. It's something that we need to do. So praise the Lord. I will, there's our imperative. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the great assembly, or in the assembly here. So, all right. So what's the nature of this psalm? If I picture, again, we don't know if David wrote it, but I'm trying to picture David. David is getting ready maybe to stand before the people of Israel. Stand before the brothers and sisters of his time, and he's preparing himself. I'm going to do this in front of the brothers and sisters. I'm going to do this in front of Israel, and with a full heart, with all my energy, with all my being, give praise to Yahweh, give praise to the Lord, and in the company of the people. So, and that is he is encouraging himself because it's not easy. It's not easy. I feel a lot more comfortable this Sunday than last Sunday because now I know the majority of the faces, right? So, David had those fears too. And he was, before the people, had to encourage himself in the Lord and exhort himself to be ready. So it's kind of how I'm picturing it. David's getting ready up, getting ready. He's warming up to stand before the people. He's going to do it with all his heart. So, one of the things that's difficult, I grew up in a church that was very charismatic, and a lot of things jumping and running around. And sometimes it was really crazy, and I started to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men, right? And so, okay, I gotta be careful. Yet at the same time, the Bible exhorts us that there are times when we come together that we're going to give praise to God together, right? And so David's preparing himself. We know that David would pray in secret, one-on-one with God, and pour out his soul. And we also know that he would do it in public, and people would be like, this guy's kind of crazy, right? Even his own wife, my husband's kind of crazy. So, but this, yeah, he's a man of worship. So, yeah, let's keep going here. So. Let's keep going. And, so, what are some of the ways what we can just give praise to God in the assembly, right? How do we give praise to God in the congregation? How can we bring opportunities of recognizing God? Went to Ian and Christy's house, and we first thing I see when I go in the door is this Martin Luther cutout, right? Right? And it was like, oh, hello, Martin Luther, right? And it was cool. And then Ian was sharing why he had it, right? You want to use it to kind of talk about All Saints, not All Saints, sorry, Reformation Day, right? Reformation Day with friends and co-workers.
I work with two traditional Catholics.
Yeah. So I thought, hey, that's a great idea for Reformation Day, right? Bring Martin Luther to work, and but that is a way. That is a way to bring God into a congregation. And this is not even a congregation of brothers and sisters, right? But how much more within the church, right? To speak of things and to exalt God, so on. Just a good way to bring a good conversation to work. And just like we're going to look at verse 2 here. So one way I look at verse 1 is like, verse 1 is the warm-up, but now what are they going to praise? How are they going to praise? What words are they going to use? And so verse 2 gives us some of that praise. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. And we're doing that this morning. We are learning about Abraham. Abraham just, you're learning about a journey in faith, a journey in obedience, and in God's calling. And we just sang a beautiful hymn. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And every time, man, I can just get teary-eyed there, because that is the greatest of works, the greatest of works. It's something I'm going to ponder my whole eternity, that God himself bore my sin, and that is something I just want to study, and meditate on, and pray about my whole life. Yes, so his cross, his blood, his resurrection. Right, the greatest works of Christ. So last year I shared about the blood of Christ. And why did I share that topic? Because that topic is the greatest work that I can think of, the greatest thing in history, the greatest things within my heart that I could try to take out and try to give to people. I can't physically take out the Christ and what he's done in my heart. But I want to try. I want to try. And so I desire to see the blood of Christ and his redemption, his resurrection, in both in my life, my wife's life, my kids' life, my kids' lives, and your lives. And that is the hope of my heart. So in that song, right, we talk about God's creation. We talk about God's future coming, God, Jesus, coming again. And those are just great, great things to be studied. So, I enjoy church history, and I know that when history pops up. Do you like the word history? Some people do, right? Like, but when you're in school, like, okay, we're going to have American history today, and you know, maybe it sounds a little like, oh boy, that's going to be exciting, right? And it can be that way. And I love church history, but church history can sound like, oh boy, it's going to be a big book. really boring. But what I like to, the way I like to kind of think about it, I say Christian biographies. Christian biographies are church history with life and breath. And because I can read a history book and it's kind of boring, but if I get a biography about Martin Luther, it's different. I can see how Martin Luther thought, his lifestyle, the things he struggled with. It's not just facts. Right? You end up seeing the person. And so that's also something we're studying and growing in. And it's really something my wife and I really enjoy, reading biographies. That's one of our things we enjoy to do together. And so another way that we make praise of these things, and some of you probably have experienced that with my wife. My wife is like, hey, this book is awesome, or this person is awesome, right? And those are good ways that we, as a congregation, we can encourage each other toward praising and exalting who God is. So I enjoy it. Or even sharing like a YouTube video. There's some really good like documentaries on YouTube that are really inspiring. So I'm going to go to verse 3. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. So I've heard that you can see the northern lights here sometimes, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen them. That's pretty cool. I was sharing in the after our prayer time in the back that my car told me that warning, low temperatures today. It's like I might have to change the default setting because it's just going to say that for a long time. Right? So maybe 30 degrees isn't quite the, maybe I need to make it more like minus 20, right? Default setting. So, but that's majestic. And then this whole last week, the moon has been just beautiful. The moon is just big and awesome, beautiful creation. And when I look at the moon, it's just beautiful. When I look at a leaf, we went up to Essex, right? And we, Brother Tyson and Sister Allie took us up into the mountains, and just looking at a yellow leaf and seeing the veins on a yellow leaf, right? It speaks of God's creation as majestic. And I want to zoom in on this passage and look at this word righteous. His righteousness endures forever. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. So, Romans chapter 5. Get there fast enough. Romans 5, 18 to 21. 18 to 21. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's that righteousness, right? That righteousness is splendid and majestic as his work, and his righteousness endures forever. So he overcame our transgression. He died for our sins, and that righteousness, that blood is forever. So let's look at verse 4. Verse 4. He has made his wonders, his wonderful acts, to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. So we've got wonderful or wonderful acts, and then to be remembered. Does anybody have a different word there? Nobody? So this can be memorial too. This word can be memorial. So this word remember. I kind of think of when they had those like Ebenezer stones or memorial stones in Israel's past. So we're going to quickly go over to Matthew 27. What I'm trying to share today is how Christ is in this psalm, the Psalm 111, that it's prophetic, that it's speaking of the Messiah and his work. So, yes, Matthew 27, not Timothy, not Romans, yes, but so. And we're going to look at verses 50 and 51. So Matthew 27, 50, 51. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. I don't ever want this to be a dry fact to me, right? This is not a dry fact. This is wonders of wonders, something that deserves to be remembered and it will be, all eternity. So Jesus himself yielded up his spirit, and because of that, that veil was torn, both physically and spiritually for us, right? And it was torn eternally. And his grace was poured out, and his compassion for us was poured out. So I'm going to quickly turn over to 2 Corinthians here. And 2 Corinthians 5:21. And some of you probably memorized this one before, but it's a song, right? Chris Tomlin's song, right? He became sin who knew no sin. So he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So because of Christ's work, we are now the righteousness of God in Christ. This is wonderful. This is wonders. This is God has taken a worm, and by his wonders, it's changed me into a butterfly. And I love that imagery. When you read Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? That word conformed is kind of a passive verb. You're like, how do you conform to something? Oftentimes you can just do nothing, right? Do nothing. But transform is a very, very active verb. It's just changing. And that Greek word, I think some of you probably know that word, that Greek word, right? That Greek word for transform is metamorphosis, morpho. So it's that butterfly language, right? You're morphing, you're changing. Becoming a new creature to be done. And Christ has done that by tearing that veil. So, and we're going to look at verse 5. So verse 5, he has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. So there's a Psalm 111:5 there. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. So there's our eternal covenant, right? We talked about covenant a little bit today with Abraham. We went over that. Jesus is the bread of life. And And that is forever. It's forever. So, better than manna, right? Not just from the sky, but from heaven itself. From heaven itself, Jesus came down. Yes, there is a fear of the Lord. We have the fear of the Lord. Be merciful, you know, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or like when the jailer comes up to Paul, like, what must I do to be saved? There is a fear. There's a good fear there, right? But in that fear of God, God meets us with mercy, with grace, and not just in my past, but also in the now and in the future. So in John 6:51, we're told that, we can just go there real quick. John 6:51. No, I'm making you jump around a lot today. So, John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And that bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So that covenant is forever. Right? That very flesh that he put on that cross is forever. How long is this covenant? We had that question earlier when we had Sunday school. Right, Gary goes, how long is this covenant? Right, how long is this covenant?
Forever.
Forever, right? Forever. It's forever. It's an eternal covenant. So. Alright, let's look at verse 6 now. We're going to look at verse 6. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. So, he's made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. So, we're gonna turn to 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, why am I sharing that verse, right? You're like, why did Jasper put that verse in there? Because, you know what? God has done this in me. If we go back to Psalm 111:6, real quick, yeah. That he has made known to his people the power of his works, right? The gospel's not veiled to me. I don't have a wall of sin that says, the Spirit himself has testified, gave witness to me that I am born again, that I am his child. But to many of my siblings, my brothers and sisters, the gospel is veiled. There's that unrepentant sin, that unwillingness to turn away from their own life, and now the gospel has become veiled to them, and the God of this world has blinded their minds. So, but he has made known his works to me, and I'm thankful. This is the work of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. He has made known to his people the power of his works. And I'm thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, it says that the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And that if you wanna ask me what we sing that song, Blessed Assurance. And that's that witness of the Spirit himself telling me that I am God's child is that blessed assurance. And he does that. And that if you don't have that, That is a great thing to pray about. Like, God, give me I ask you to give me that witness of your Spirit that I am, your son, that I am your daughter. Make that a reality in my life. And that is, it's a challenging prayer, because I can't save myself based on my confession. Confession's good. I confess that, you know, Jesus is my Lord, He's my Savior, right? But it's the Spirit Himself who makes that a reality, that manifests that, that changes the very person of my heart and the person of my spirit. So I never want to make the assumption, just because of my confession or my thoughts, that I'm saved either by my works or my church attendance or how long I have served God. I used to be pretty prideful about that. I grew up in church. So I've been in church my whole life. And I was pretty, I could put on the church face and feel really, really good with myself. I had all the right words. I could open up the, by the time I was 15, 16, I was already reading through the Bible every year. But that's not assurance, you know. It's good to have knowledge, but it wasn't, it almost became a trap for me. Because I thought I just, long as I did these things and did what was expected, that I was saved, that I was pleasing to God. And then, you know, then God kind of threw me out of the boat. And I started questioning that word, repentance. Like, God, I understand what that word repentance means. I was in my mid-20s, so 25. I was 25. And God, like, God, what does this word? I understand what repentance means. I'm pretty sure I even knew the Greek word was metanoia. And I'm like, God, do I have it? Do I have repentance? Have I turned from my sin? You know, people tell me I'm a Christian. I tell myself I'm a Christian, but are you telling me I'm a Christian? And that bothered me. It bothered me because, like, God, I'm not hearing you tell me I'm a Christian. No, I'm telling myself. People are telling me. My pastor's telling me. My parents are telling me, but you're not telling me. What's, why? Oh, why? And God did meet me. And repentance did happen. But it was a struggle because I had to undo a lot of things that were in my mind. So let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. So I'm kind of sharing with you how I pray this psalm. This is just how I pray this psalm. This psalm is, I noticed this psalm has been on my heart for a few years now, and I noticed there wasn't enough praise. I felt like I wasn't praising God enough, so I found a psalm that was just full of praise, and it was praise, and I saw that how Christ was just the promised in this psalm, and so just kind of opening my journal, and I feel a little, little open there. So, the works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. All right. This idea of precepts here, you can say all His precepts are sure. All His precepts are trustworthy. All His precepts are worth faith in. This word sure has the idea of belief and faith behind it, that we're trusting in what God is doing. So in Psalm 22:16, it is prophesied that they will pierce His hands. And I find it interesting here that it says the work of His hands are truth and justice. We got two, truth and justice. And that even Christ in His glorified body bears His marks, right? Remember that? Like, remember that Doubting Thomas, right? Like, unless I get to put my finger in that side, right, and see those nail holes in His hand, and His glorified body still bears those physical marks. That, yes, so His real physical hands were nailed, but there's also a real spiritual work that Christ did on the cross, and He brought divine truth and divine justice. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So thankful for that truth, right? That is Christ's work. That is His hands. His hands bore that. He Himself bore our sin in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So my sins, He brought my sins. He brought justice on Himself for my sins. And so by His hands, He has given me unmerited mercy and unmerited grace. These are the precepts. These are the precepts that He is, the works of Christ that I am sure in. Let's look at verse 8 real quick. Psalm 111, verse 8. So, they are held forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. So, we're still talking about His covenant, this eternal covenant. It's a theme in this psalm. But it is also, it's just amazing, right, that Christ's work is upheld forever and ever. So, His covenant's blood is forever. And this is how the kingdom of God moves forward. So we got two things, two ways that how the kingdom of God moves forward. It moves forward in truth, right? Truth is factual, right? I can't change it. There's nothing I can do to alter truth. And then uprightness. I'm thinking like, well, okay, why uprightness there? So truth, I can't adjust that one. I can't change it. Uprightness seems to me like a kind of fruit of the Spirit, right? It does have some kind of display, right? I can't show you Jesus on the cross. I can't show you the spiritual work of the atonement, and it's a mystery in many ways. And I definitely can't show you that physically or how I'm working out my life and my salvation. But uprightness, I hope people could see that fruit, right? I hope my wife can see some good works in me, you know, growing and doing something. So that's, God so loved the world, that is a truth. God so loved the world, that is a truth, but also, there is an upspringing of God's fruit in my life, and that is uprightness, uprightness. So God's program doesn't change. And one of the things I don't like happening is buying a new computer. You ever bought a new computer? It takes how long to get the thing kind of running for you? Like, I don't know, sometimes a week, right? It's just, it's hard to get a new computer to work the way you want it to work. And or you get a new TV, trying to get all the different cables in the back of the TV. Doesn't really work, right? Because it's something new. I used to work at Amazon for a few years of my life. In Amazon, like every month, new idea. And it just, like, what was wrong with the old idea? And I've experienced the same thing growing up in church. I used to be part of a church and a denomination where every year they had a new vision and a new idea and a new program. And growing up in church, I had a lot of energy for church. But it would make me tired. I would just get tired and tired and tired because new program, new idea. And I'm like, why? What's wrong with the old one? What's wrong with the old one? And so this verse has really helped me. Like, hey, God doesn't have a new program. Right? It's still Jesus. It's still amazing grace. It's still repent and believe, and God can bring about new life. Right? That's and so, yeah, it's encouraged me. So, and so it's still Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's very much the program that I want to be a part of. So. Verse 9, We're going to go to verse 9 here. So, He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. So, Jesus was sent. He was sent for His people. And He died on that cross for His people. And so, and I love it. In verse 5, we were told that He will remember His covenant forever. Right? It's a memorial, right? In verse 5, we were told that He would remember His covenant forever. Here, we are told that He will ordain His covenant forever. That's to me, that word's a little stronger. It's just not a memory, right? It's put into action. It's inaugurated and not going to be changed. It's not going to be done away with. That this covenant is both remembered forever and ordained forever. It's anointed, right? So here, I got a question for you. a question that's a little too hard to have an answer to, but it's worth trying. What will be the role of Christ's death and resurrection in eternity? I can kind of make up a few answers, but it will be amazing. It will be amazing, and it will not stop. We'll be learning things about Christ's death forever. What He did. There's just so much that Christ did on that cross and redeeming us. So let's go to the climax of this psalm. And again, when I'm picturing this, I'm picturing David before a congregation, right? He's exalting who God is. And it is speaking of Christ. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. If I could sit down and have another conversation with some of you, and for some of you it would be the first conversation, I would want to ask, what does the fear of the Lord mean? What does it mean to you? How do you understand it? How has it affected you? You know, and if you want to, you can share about it today with me when you talk with me. But my wife and I sometimes we talk like there's so many things happening within the American church, and it's difficult. Like, Lord, where do we start tackling things? What needs to happen for revival to come? Where can things change? And there's so many places where it's difficult. But I know one of the things that needs to be tackled is we need to fear the Lord again. We need to fear the Lord again. And here we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Other places we're told it's the key to knowledge. And Luke even brings this up. So this idea of the fear of the Lord is very much at the heart of what's happening within the world. We need God's fear. If you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear man. And if you fear the Lord, you know, tomorrow, whatever may come, you know, whatever may come, His blood doesn't change. You know, His blood is still there. His mercy is still there. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have all those who do His commandments, right? If you love me, you obey me. His praise endures forever. So, think of Isaiah 6, you know, it says, saw the Lord high and lifted up, exalted, and he heard holy, 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 right? And then we get into Revelation and we see that the angels are singing holy, 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 right? 1, 2, 3. People like to say that's a reference to the Trinity, right? That holy, holy, holy. But we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that. We're gonna one day. We're gonna be in eternity. for eternity singing how great God is, how great God is, how great thou art. And that praise endures forever. We talked about eternal covenant, right? He'll remember his covenant forever. He'll ordain his covenant forever. And we can be within that covenant. And our praise endures forever. So that is my sharing of Psalm 111 here. Kind of scattered, but this has been my prayer for some time, just opening up how God has led this psalm into my life. So let me close here. Thank you so much, Lord, for your Son. I think again of that beautiful hymn that we had here. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce could take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. I can't think of eternity, God. I can't even think of tomorrow. And I don't know what tomorrow holds for the next day, next week, or month. But I know the work of your Son, the testimony of your good grace, the work of your Spirit, and the love of the Father. Those eternal things will not leave tomorrow or the next month or the next year. Lord, thank you. Lord, I ask that you would be with the brothers and sisters, that somewhere in my rambling, God, that something by your Holy Spirit spoke to them, some hope to grab onto, or some word to remember to pray about, some discussion to have with a friend or a spouse. Lord, watch over the brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for their willingness to listen to me, and their open ears and their open hearts, Lord. In your blessed Son's name.